It's been Lord's house again. Kind of like the dish ice cream they eat on. Can you get that, but where Lord, you know?
Amen.
I like ice cream. Stoney does too. If you will get you a book, turn to page 409. We're going to do all four verses farther along. Page 409.
Oh,
Karen wasn't feeling too good this afternoon. Our stomach, just remember her. And then my niece was in a car accident yesterday. She was okay, but she bruised up and bloodied, and she T-boned somebody, run a stop sign, T-boned somebody yesterday. She's 19, so just pray for her that she'll be all right and heal.
Vicki said to ask the church to remember, it's Jeff Workman's brother. I think his name is Johnny.
That's his cousin, first
cousin. Cousin. Yeah.
Yeah.
She said that he had something happened to him, and they took him to mission, but she hadn't heard today what happened. It was yesterday. She said, remember him in prayer.
Amen.
to let me show what was going on in church. And I asked.
Pray for Preacher Billy this evening. Preacher Billy's had some trouble with his legs this week, been weak his legs.
I'm hoping he's sick.
Yeah, and Vivian's had some doctor's appointments and things, and she's got a couple more to go. Just pray the Lord give her strength, both of them strength to get through it. And Preacher Bill is supposed to, you said you're supposed to have that this Sunday, ordination at Mount Calvary. I believe they must be going to ordain Preacher Mac to it. He took Freedom Baptist, ain't that the name of it? Is it Freedom Baptist? Blood Harmon's Church.
No, it ain't Freedom.
Well, it's Blood Harmon's Church, 164. I can't remember if it's Freedom or what it is, but anyways, that's the church. But he did take that church, so I'm sure.
It is Freedom. Bud's church is.
Okay. Well, that's where he's going. But yeah, pray for them. Just pray that everything will be good in that service. And also, I want to thank the Lord for being good to me this week. I want to thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. Thank him again for giving me the Bible. He's helped me last week. And I thank God that he don't owe me that. Yeah. I want to say that the preacher preached.
Amen.
And the Spirit was here.
Amen.
And if you didn't get revival, it's because your heart part. And you need to get an altar and ask God to help you. Because I'm telling you, the preacher preached. And the Spirit was here.
Yeah.
And they ain't nowhere to point a finger otherwise besides in your own chest. And I thank God for what he done last week. And it's been a blessing to me this week. And let's pray for the camp meeting coming up.
Yeah.
And the preachers, it's going to be preaching.
Amen.
And let's also remember Rick Davis' church. They're having revival next week. Preacher Travis Parker's going to be preaching. And so remember that. And let's pray for all those that couldn't make it tonight that like to be here. Let's pray for those that could have been here today.
Yes.
Pray for my mom and Rob. I'd like to see them back here. They've been out a little bit. She just said that she's, you know, just one thing and another's happening. You know how it is. But just pray for her. Just pray for her.
Yeah. Next Monday night, I mean, Sherry and Karen and Vivian are supposed to go around and sing at the Rick Church. We'll be praying about that, too.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Pray for my friend Lisa that I work with, too. She had a stimulator put in her back to help with the shingles pain, or pain from her shingles that she's had for like 3 years. Just pray that helps her.
Yeah, that shingle's rough.
Yeah, she's had a
hard time. Same mom go through it.
Yeah, she can't stand for anything to touch the side of her leg, and
yeah.
She's had a lot of pain.
You're praying about this. Anybody else?
Pray for Preacher Matthew. He's preaching up at
Amos Chapel.
Yeah.
Remember praying for my aunt. They didn't do surgery on her this week. And Alan hadn't called me yet, her son. They're supposed to go to the sheriff's center from Colin Springs right up there next to Hudson or Lenore?
Closer to Lenore.
They're supposed to move her up there. And I get a chance to try to get by her surgery this weekend. Never my grandson was born, she really picked the fit, make sure he wanted to have a shower. So, I always said before, you know, before she got too much worse than what she was, I wanted to take him up there and let her hold him and get a picture of him, him and her together, you know. So I'm hoping that works out for Friday night.
Amen.
Be praying for her. Keep reading your prayers. She's, maybe you can tell you, Sherry, tell you, my wife, she's a wonderful woman. Mm-hmm. Her being sung together for years, Ellen. Hmm. Anybody else?
You know, I thank God for the revival last week. It really pumped me up.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the miracles he's done today with Brooke sitting up off the ventilator after they give her up for dead. And like Stoney said, God was still in control.
Yeah.
And I had a burden for that girl. And when God puts a burden on you to pray for somebody, you better pray for them.
Yeah.
I don't care where you're at or what you do or who they are, even if you don't know them. If God says pray for that person, you better pray for them.
Amen.
And I just thank God for everything he's done for me. One of my other friends we had prayed for had colon cancer. She called me today, she's cancer-free. She didn't have to have surgery. She's cancer-free. They're going to check on her every 3 months, but she's cancer-free. That's two miracles today.
Amen.
And I just thank God for it.
That's right.
And it's the cross, it's the blood.
Amen. That's right.
When it comes to healing and tithing and blessings, you can't outdo God.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't care if your name's George Soros or Buffoon Obama or whatever, it don't matter. You can't outdo God.
Yeah.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I can't hardly sit down without picking my Bible up now.
Amen.
That's a good habit. I wish I was a little more like that.
That's great.
Amen. And that Bible was good. I hadn't heard any negative comments from anybody about it. Mm-hmm. It was a good revival. Anybody else for a cup of
rain? Tony, remember Bobby, Josie, and Dana when they flying out to Colorado tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Part for work, part for to see his cousin that lives out there in Utah. But you know, I just get fancy.
A lot of people say that when it comes to crisis, said the Lord says, "Lo, I am with you." A lot of people say that. Anybody else?
Remember our kids.
Our kids. Not long grandchildren, both.
Oh, they're our kids too.
Huh?
They're our kids too.
Yeah. Part of my family. I won't say nothing down near the hill.
Yeah.
I won't say nothing more, man. We go down near the hill.
Right.
That's a terrible place. Anybody else?
Kind of speak God one more time. Continue to pray for Brother Robert, but I want to thank God for touching him and helping him. He's been suffering for a long time.
Yeah.
And to see him be able to have some comfort again, that's a blessing. I thank God for that.
That is a blessing. It really is.
Right.
I said you cannot heal God.
Yeah.
Nobody, no doctor, nothing.
Right. Amen.
He might be checking his freezer around the yard here for too much longer.
If I run, y'all better run too.
Put a fire or something.
So
anybody else?
Remember Holly especially. She didn't have anything they're very concerned about with her. But it is a little bit enlarged, which they think does support her, but she's going to have surgery for weight loss, and it's something the doctors are suggesting, not her.
Yeah.
And until they know the thyroid's working properly, she can't have the surgery, and she will lose her insurance in July, so they're trying to get it done before then.
Mm.
So, and when she goes back on the, I don't know what insurance she's got right now, but when she goes back on the insurance that she will have after that, they will pay for it, even though the doctor says she needs it. And, you know, that's insurance not only for the doctor to do, I guess. But, and remember Marley especially, too, because she had some psychiatric testing done, and they've gotten the results, and it's, she's ADHD, which they know, but she has some other issues, too, she needs prayer for.
Yeah, she's a sweet little girl. She just fired up
all the time.
All the time. Anybody else?
I'd like to thank him for praying for Amanda.
Yes.
She's doing a whole lot better, and just thank God for what he's done for her.
Yes. Can't out heal him, can you?
Yeah.
No doctor, nobody. It's all God. It's nothing man does.
Right.
He might give Amanda the ability to cut somebody out and
yeah.
do this right, but he can give it to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Preach, bro.
I know. I'm far from that. I'm just worshiping God.
Amen.
I'm trying to brag on him a little bit.
Amen.
I don't do enough of it.
Yeah.
I got a dad and brother that's out of church. I believe they're saved. Daddy went to church for 40-some years, however long. I mean, maybe longer than that. But just after COVID, they got out. I don't know what's hindering them, what's holding them up. Pray God work in their hearts.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. He'd pray for all our loved ones, whether lost that, their stable or whatever, you know. And we need to pray for the preacher. I'm sure he'll have his prayers.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Remember Kent Lloyd, they'll be traveling home this week. Remember Chris
Anybody else? Always remember our elderly. Remember them, they need your prayers.
Yes, we do.
We need your prayers.
Shahu?
We.
She always got to say, check out my meeting, Matt. Anybody else? I need to get serious, anybody else? All right, everybody come around, let's pray. Pray about service tonight, pray for pastor, pray for the elderly people, pray for our nation. Nation's in bad shape tonight, people.
Amen.
All right, Brother Glenn Waller, will you pray with us?
I pray you can have your brothers and families.
Thank you for preaching everyone that's come out. And thank you for the spirit of unity we have here at this church. And I pray God that you let nothing happen to that, protect that, we put a hedge around that, that we be able to love one another, help and support, pray for one another. What a blessing it is to have a family and a church, Father. I don't take it for granted, Father. I love you for doing so many great things in my life, for my wife and my children, for my dad, my mom, and all my family. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord, especially. I thank you for seeing your son that died for my sins, Lord, having mercy on me, not just once, but every day of my life, Father, every moment that I live, your mercy sustains me. Lord, I thank you for the grace that you give. Thank you for answering prayers, Lord, healing them that are sick, God, those that's been afflicted, Lord, the ones that's been had surgeries and different things. I thank you, Lord, for giving you and touching and protecting. Lord, you don't know us a thing, Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you for the meeting we had last week. Pray God that you carry that through, Lord, in our hearts. More than we ain't caught up with yet. I pray God that you bring conviction to their hearts, help them grow. Pray that you meet the needs of the request that's been mentioned here tonight. God, that you touch them that's still yet sick. Lord, the one that's facing cancer, and the one that's facing pests, Lord. The one that's facing sickness and has doctor appointments coming up. I pray that you touch and help them. I pray that you be a preacher, be with them, give them wisdom. I look to the servant, Father, and the ordination coming up. I pray, God, that you be in that service. I pray for every meeting that's coming up. Every man of God that stands behind that sacred desk, Father, that you just protect him, put a hedge about him and his family. Lord, help him to study, Lord, give him clarity, Lord, give him discernment, give him wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to just continue to strive together towards the mark, Father, that you said, which is your Son, Jesus. Lord, let us come humbly before the throne of grace, Lord, with boldly in our hearts that we might ask anything of you, having faith and confidence that you are in. Lord, we love you. We thank you. I pray that you bring conviction to the hearts of our leaders and cause them and move them, Father, to serve and do you and make legislation and laws, Lord, to glorify you. If they be not willing, Lord, if they turn out of that way, I pray that you remove them, Lord, from the place where they stand. Lord, you raise up rulers and say, now have mercy again on your people out there. Lord, we ask that you do us this service tonight. May the name of your Son, Jesus, be magnified and exalted. Lord, it's in his name you pray tonight.
Good evening. It's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. It is good to be here. Amen. I'm glad to be able to come in and worship on Wednesday night. I lead a midweek service.
Amen.
Amen. I'm hungry. Literally, I'm hungry. I've been on a diet. And
seafood.
I started cutting back calories last week, and this week I'm cutting myself down to 1,000 calories a day. I've been done this before, you know, and it's helped. It does help when you only eat 1,000 calories a day, but it's hard to do. And, you know, but I will tell you, you know, I was thinking back to that message that Preacher Curtis preached last Wednesday, talking about those folks that were hungry. And I was thinking about, you know, I'm still young. I'm 34 years old. And so, you know, usually whenever I'm in the Dollar General or the grocery store, the gas station, anywhere that they would have those magazines and they've got those half-dressed harlots on the front of them, you know, if I see that, I turn away from it, you know, because I realize that that can put corruptness in my mind. And if you're a man, you can probably realize that. And I don't know what puts corruptness in women's minds, probably pocketbooks, I don't know. But, you know, whatever it is, you can imagine what I'm talking about. But in any case, you know, and for you young men, pay attention to this, and even for you old men, sin has no age. If something catches your eye, it's because you have a sin nature. The problem is whenever you turn back and gawk at it, right? So you turn away. But I have not had that problem this week. Whenever I walk by over that cash register and I see those Reese cups, I'm like, turn away. I'm like, it's done flung a craving on me. You know what I mean? So it's been very difficult. But at the same time, I guess it's rewarding because I'm now just dealing with lust after Reese cups. But in any case, I told my wife, I said, we got to get all this uncleanness out of the house. I said, all these snack cakes and everything else, I said, I can't deal with this. But in any case, I thought that was funny. I was going to throw that in there and preach a little bit about it. But in any case, remind me, somebody, before I leave tonight, I seen a blank piece of paper right there. Can I use that blank piece of paper? I'm going to fill out, or I'm not going to, because I don't write, allegedly. I'm going to have my wife write down the things that we need to know for the sign-up sheet for camp. Do you remember all of them?
I think so.
We'll think about it together. We'll figure it out. But I got to get that up there because he's going to want that probably by the end of May. So go ahead and sign that sheet if you're going with us, and we'll be looking forward to it. All right. Is there anything else I was going to say? We'll get started. It seemed like there's some things, but I can't recall.
Sorry, the ladies are not going to do a shower for Chelsea too. When she gets married, she has said that she didn't really need anything, and we still want to do something for her. And I don't know if everybody in here has heard what we're doing, but I'd like to say that we're going to have each person write on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Typewriter paper is what we used to call it, copy paper, whatever. A recipe or two or five, as many as you want to, and bring it, and we'll put it in the plastic sleeves and put it in the notebook. Stephanie's already taken care of that part, notebook. And we'll categorize that notebook and make our recipe book in our own handwriting, just for her.
Amen.
And we also, she doesn't have a food processor, so we want to get her a good one.
Right.
If the ladies want to contribute to that, when I get the money, and I have said, I put it on the church message board, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
The three different ones that we're looking at, depending on how much money we get.
Okay.
But Anita is supposedly pretty good. I know I got one that had years. And
yeah.
Still going good, so.
Good deal. Y'all need me a shower like that? I want some recipes. I don't need the food to the processor, though. I just need the recipes.
You gonna start cooking now?
No, I just like reading recipes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
read your recipe.
Yeah, when I'm hungry, that's what I do. I read the recipe.
And then sign
your
name.
Yeah, sign your name.
Just show
Andrew's
recipe.
I just want to make sure most people heard it. But in passing around to people who are not here, I don't know who all I did.
Is this the ladies, or can I contribute?
You can contribute.
I got a good recipe. This ain't no lie. You're going to laugh, but I'm dead serious. I got a killer recipe for barbecue beaver.
Okay.
Put that in there. My wife can't do it. She done tried. She can't do it. I have magic skills.
It did taste like barbecue, like the best barbecue you've ever ate.
Yeah.
What'd you say it was?
Beaver. Barbecue beaver. Excuse me. Anyways.
Anybody who wants to contribute, man, but the ladies are the ones that started this, so that's.
All right. Good deal.
We'll finish it.
Amen. Good deal. That'd be good.
I must be on time and call my greasy chops.
Yeah, I did that one too.
They're good, aren't they?
All right. Somebody please remind me though about the sign-up sheet, because I've been meaning to do that for weeks. And we dismiss, and I shake everybody's hands, and I'm just like, in a don't know the world. So, anyways, I've even wrote it down a couple times, and that's not helping yet. So please, somebody remind me to do that before I leave. In any case, has anybody got a special song they want to sing tonight before we get started?
They will eventually mute after so long on their own, but.
All right. Well, amen. If you have the Bible, be in the book of Luke in chapter number 12. Luke in chapter number 12. Amen. Luke in chapter number 12, and we will begin reading verse number 49. Luke in chapter number 12. When you find the places, we will begin reading in verse number 49. These are the words of Jesus. He has been giving here some parables. as he's giving these parables, he comes upon this, and he says in Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse 49, Jesus Christ says here, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I strengthened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also unto the people," I'm going to stop at 53. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. Pray, Lord, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. And God, that you bring down Holy Ghost conviction upon our hearts and help us to draw near to the cross. Lord, may you be glorified. May the name of Jesus be exalted. It's in his name alone we beg. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm getting carried away there. I'm going to keep reading. That's all right. No, it don't ever hurt to read a little extra scripture, does it? Whenever we look at this here, if I was going to title this message tonight, the title would be "The Right Kind of Division." That's what I would say. The title of this message be "The Right Kind of Division," because here in the text, Jesus says this. He says, "Think not that I am come." Here he says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth." He says, "Nay, but rather division." Now, we know this, that Jesus did bring peace on earth, amen? But now, whenever the peace that he brought, he says, "Peace I give unto you, peace I leave with you," amen? That's what he said. But he was talking about those who were his, those who belong to him, those that are in Christ. He brings a type of peace to those that have him. That's why we get that old adage that the old men of God used to say, that everybody has a Jesus-sized hole in their heart that can only be filled with Christ. I mentioned it, I preached on it for the last couple weeks and talked about it, how the things and all the dreams we can accomplish don't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is Christ. And that's the kind of peace that he's talking about. He says, "I can give you peace. I can give you rest for your souls." He says, "Where that you were before at enmity with God," he says, "I came about to bring peace." That's why the angels came down and they spoke to the shepherd. They said, "Don't be scared." They said, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." That God's will toward mankind is good. Hey, if there's a God in heaven and a creator of everything who has the moral absolutes, you and I, by all means, have failed him. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. If any man was to be honest with himself, we would realize just how much that we fail God from day to day. From the time that you wake up in the morning until the time you lay your head down on the pillow at night, I would hate to think if we was to try to number just the wicked thoughts that goes through a man in the world's hearts and minds. Yet the Lord says that he searches the mind and the heart, and he knows what is the mind of the spirit. And I thank God that I have peace with God. I'm not the enemy of God no more. It ain't because somehow I miraculously saved myself. It's not because I overcome sin or anything else. It is because the love of God saved me on the cross of Calvary, where the blood was shed and made me righteous. And I have peace with God. And so we know that Christ did come to bring peace between God and man. Amen. But he says here, "Suppose ye that I came to bring peace." He said, I said, "Nay." But what he's talking about here is a different kind of peace. Amen. He's talking about peace between man and man. He says, "I am not come so that you can get along with your neighbor." He said, "That's not my purpose here." He said, "That is not what I'm here for. It's so that you can get along with everybody and have peace with everybody." It's in the text. It says, in my words, this is the words of Jesus Christ. Let's read it again, verse 51. He asked a question, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay. He's like, I tell you no. That's wrong. He says, I did not come to give peace or mean peace between man and man. You know who tries to do that? Satan does. You say, well, why would Satan want man to have peace? Well, that's what the spirit of the Antichrist is going to do. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That tribulation period when that Antichrist comes into power, that the nations will come together and there'll be a time of peace for that first 3.5 years. Amen. Am I telling the right preacher? Right. Amen. That for the first 3.5 years, they're going to have a time of peace, but it's going to be a false peace. Why? Why is that? It's because they've all compromised to the point where they can all get along. Do you know that right now, over in the Holy Land, in the land of Israel, they're building a temple. They've been working on it for about the last 4 years, since 2020, if you can imagine that. And this temple is a place that they're building up where they say that they want Christians, Muslims, and Jews to be able to come and worship because they're all worshiping the same God. They call it, they want to have unity with one another. Well, let me say this. I enjoy having unity in the church. Amen. Amen. Do y'all enjoy having unity? Yeah. Amen. I do too. I love having brothers and sisters in Christ that I can get along with, that they believe the same things I believe. Amen. They believe the Word of God, amen. And the Word of God means something to them. And they're not just quick to judge me because I'm a redneck and I don't always speak right. And sometimes instead of saying it's a long word that starts with S, I say it's a long S word. And some of y'all might think I said something different. But nobody judges me. They just pray for me, amen. And I thank God for that. That's because well, we have unity, amen. We've got unity not only here, but with other churches around this community because they believe the same as we do, that Jesus Christ is the precious Son of God. He's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And He come down for this purpose, to save sinners, amen, and to make peace between God and man. But He did not come to make peace on earth. So when I say that we love unity, what I don't love is I don't love it whenever you see the church trying to be have unity with the world. Amen? Christ said He did not come for you, the church, His child, to have unity with the world. Let's notice first that this word here, division, where He says in verse number 51, He says, I did not come to give, He says not to give peace. He says, I tell you no, but rather division. He says, I come to bring division. To divide something is to separate something. To divide something is to split something. You can call it whatever you want to. We call it splitting logs. You can call it dividing logs. You can call it separating logs. Either which way you want to call it is still the same thing. But He says, I came to bring division. To divide you, to separate you from the world and from the world system. I had a friend tell me one time, he's a good friend. He claims to be a Christian, and I have no reason to doubt he's a Christian, but I do believe that he's in a place where he's backslid. I do believe that he's in a place to where that he's not serving God, he's not in God's will, and the Lord knows who it is. Y'all pray for him. And he told me one time, I was talking to him, and I was telling him about the importance of being at the house of God. I was telling him about the importance of reading his Bible every day and being in the Word of God and how that God would have him to do that. And he said, well, what about that scripture? And he said that this was scripture, according to him, what he thought. He said, what about that scripture that says that you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? And I just laughed. I couldn't help it. I just laughed because I said, that's not in the Bible. I said, that's one of them old wives' tales that the Bible warns you about, amen. But you know what? You know what the Bible does teach? It doesn't say it this way, but it teaches this, that you can be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. He says, I came to bring division, to separate you from the world. He says, I came to bring division so much, in so much that he says, those that are in the same household, if there be five, he said, but three would be a God against two, and two against three. Hey, if you've got a family, they're all in the body of Christ, you ought to praise God. You ought to give God thanks. I've known so many Christian brothers and sisters that have loved ones of those in their own household. There's been husbands and wives, and there's been mothers and fathers that had children. There's been children that's had mom and dads, and they're not in the fold. And what a burden that is to carry, and what a heartbreak and a wrench in the years that can be. If you got a house where you got your children and your mom and daddy is saved and belongs to the family of God, you ought to glorify God for that.
Amen.
My grandpa, my wife's got a picture of the day that this conversation happened. I'll never forget it as long as I live. After my grandpa died, I wrote a poem about it. I do write poetry from time to time. Maybe I'll read it to you all sometime. But in any case, my grandpa looked at me, my dad, my uncle, my brother-in-laws were sitting there, they were talking, they were standing. We were sitting down at the table, we was having a family dinner. They was talking about the people they knew that were millionaires, how much money they had. They were telling all this, and my grandpa looked at me, he said, "You know something?" He said, "I reckon I'm the richest man I know." Man never had about four pair of pants in his life. He'd lost weight. I remember he had a tape in his ring. I asked him what that tape was for one time. He said, "It's making his ring fit. Instead of getting the resize of his fit," you know, he's just a simple, simple man. He really was. He had more students than he did work for, which I said, "God, that's the truth." And he never wanted for much. And I asked him, I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, most money I ever made in my life was $10 an hour." He said, "But I got to preach God's word." He said, "Me and my wife's both saved." He said, "My young'uns is saved and in church." He said, "My grand young'uns are all saved and they're in church." He said, "And all my great grand young'uns are in church." He said, "I've already got to see one of them saved." He said, "I don't know anybody else my age that could say that." He said, "And I reckon I'm the richest man I know." And I've thought a lot about that over these years. And how that he counted those blessings greatly. And he cherished the things that God had done in his life above anything else. And I said, he truly was the richest man that I know. Amen. That's because of this, that he cherished what God had done. Like I said, if you've got a family that's in church, you ought to thank God not everybody's got that. And I want to tell you this, if you'll stand for Christ, you'll have division with your children. You'll have division with moms and dads, with brothers and sisters. You say, "Well, God don't want me to do that." That's what the Bible says. It's not that he's trying to put you against your family, but he says, if you'll live for me, he said that it's going to happen, that they're going to get upset with you. Why? It's because their heart's convicted, because they see how that you've been separated from the world and they're still in the world. Hey, let me tell you, you'll get the maddest at you a lot of times is another Christian. Amen? Because they're in church and they're going through the motions and they're there on a Sunday morning and they're there for a service, but whenever they see you and you're on fire for God, and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're serving God and you're talking about and you're calling out sin, hey, I want to tell you right now, they don't like to hear that. Why? Because they yoked up with the world. Hey, the Bible tells us that we ought to be divided away from those that are in the world, amen,
amen.
And away from the world.
That's right.
Bible says this. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." He divided it from the beginning. Amen? He took the darkness and divided it away from the light. Why? Because he says, "When the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehendeth it not." Hey, the dark and the light don't meet together. Where the light is absent, darkness exists. And where the light exists, darkness flees. Hey, he said, "I come to bring division." He said, "I divided the light from the darkness." They're two separate things. They don't mix together. You can't mix them together. And he says the same for his children. When the light comes into your dark path, he says, "You have no fellowship with darkness any longer."
Amen.
That's what we're called to. The Bible tells us this, talking about division. You know, a lot of times we talk about division. I see a lot of division in the church. I'm not talking about this church specifically. We don't really have that problem that I know of. And if we do have that, don't tell me, it'll ruin my life. But in any case, I don't see it. I don't know of it. Nothing in my discernment tells me to be burdened about it, and so I'm thankful. And I thank God for it, and I ask God to keep it that way. But I mean the church in general. It seems to me that so often, we as Christians are so quick to judge other Christians. Now let me tell you something. Can I say a few things first? Let me give you a few caveats before I get started on this little rant I'm going to go into. Alright? Because I don't want you going and saying anything that I didn't even say, well, the preacher said this. And then, oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this first. You take these facts, and if you're going to take notes, you write these things down first. I am glad that I am a Baptist. I am glad that I'm an independent Baptist. I don't belong to an association. Amen? I think that's a good thing. Associations can get you into trouble. I'm glad of that fact. I believe that the Baptist faith is the most biblical faith to have. I believe that it is more biblical than that of Methodist or Presbyterian or a Pentecostal or anything else. I believe that the Baptist faith is the faith that you are to have. I believe fervently that the King James Bible is the most accurate English translation that we have today. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. And I read and I study from the King James Bible. And if you don't know, it's the only English translation that we have that was taken from what they call the Textus Receptus, which is where, I'm not going to go into great detail because, for one, I don't remember all the detail, and two, it would take up too much time. But they took and they gathered all of the known scrolls. This is hundreds of years ago, you know. This is before that the King James Bible was even translated. But they wanted to see if there were errors in the Bible because it had been translated from, you know, different languages, you know, not from one language to another, but for years and years and years it had been not translated. What do they call that?
Transcribed.
Because they didn't have typewriters, they didn't have computers, they couldn't type it up, they couldn't print it. So they had to manually write everything. Handwritten, right? And a scroll or a book only lasted for so long, right? And so every 30, 40 years they'd have to transcribe the writings. Well, you practiced that thing whenever you were in school, and you know, you whisper something to somebody, they whisper to the next person, you go all the way around the classroom, when it gets back to the teacher, it's not what she wrote down on a piece of paper. You ever tried that? What they found out is that over the course of around 1,400 years, that whenever they got Bibles from Ethiopia, whenever they got Bibles from Asia, whenever they got copies of the Word of God from all over Europe, from Rome and everywhere else, this is what they found. That in all these different languages, whenever these men could come together and they could conclude what the Word of God said, that it all still lined up. There was no errors. God had preserved His Word. That's what they found. And they called that the Textus Receptus. Then, whenever the first English translation was given, that was mass-produced, it was the first mass-produced, which was the King James Bible. And it was done with great conviction. Now later, there were other versions that were written that were from the Alexandria courts, which were a set of books that compiled the Bible that they took from, that they found, and I forget the whole details, but long story short, they said, well, these are older, so they must be right. But it was one set of text. And they said that it was older than the Textus Receptus. But remember, the Textus Receptus had been brought from all these different transcripts that had been given over the course of 1,400 years, and there was no errors found. And now all of a sudden you're going to take one, and it differs in some ways, and you're going to try to translate from that because it's older. Well, that, logically speaking, just logically speaking, that doesn't even make sense. And so whenever I say that I believe the King James Bible is the most accurate copy of the Word of God, I'm not just saying that they translated it the best. I'm saying that the translation that it come out of, the book that they, the copy that they had of the Word of God that they translated it from, was the most accurate. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. Okay. So in saying that, I will say this. As Christians, we often will spend a great deal of effort and a great deal of time studying and a great deal of time contemplating how to bring these things out to accuse other Christians who either are not Baptist or they don't read from the King James Bible. Hey, let me tell you this. I've known missionaries, okay? Like I said, here at this church, we will read and study from the King James Bible. Do not misconstrue what I'm saying. But I have known missionaries who have gone into the heart of China. I don't know, but I've known them. I've read their stories. They've gone into the heart of China and had their family killed by the Chinese communists. And they had, I forget if it was an ESV or what it was, but that's the Bible that they read. Now, this is what I have a problem with. I have no problem at all saying and stating that the King James Bible is the most accurate translation of the Word of God. But I am not going to sit there and point a finger and call somebody out about them having an ESV unless I'm already willing to call out those who would sin in a way that's against the very nature of God. And you wonder, what are you talking about, preacher? Let me ask you this. How many times have you took issue with somebody not reading the King James Bible? Or how many times have you took issue with somebody not being a Baptist, but yet whenever you pass that one that's got the pink in his hair at the Walmart, you don't call him out? Hey, if you pass some people that's out there on the side of the road holding up the Black Lives Matter signs, you don't call them out. And whenever you see them marching in the streets up there in Morganton and they got the rainbow flags, you don't call them out. Hey, we ought to, instead of calling out bad theology so much, we ought to spend some time calling out sin, amen. Calling out the adulterers, calling out the fornicators, calling out the drunkards. Praise God, that's what Paul done, amen. That's what Peter done. They preached the word of God and they told them that God is holy and that we are in enmity with God. And the only way to have the peace that God does give, and that's between God and man, is through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know preachers, two of them, matter of fact. One of them, you've heard him preach. His name is Jerry Michael. He got saved in a very contemporary way. He watched a movie. I forget the name of the movie. I didn't see God in that movie. It's supposed to be a Christian movie, but I didn't see God in that movie, but he did. And he got saved. Sweeping a McDonald's parking lot one night, somebody come by and offered him a joint. He said, no, not tonight. And he got down beside his broom up there at McDonald's and asked God to save him. And he went to a really contemporary church. They had drums and they had all this kind of stuff, you know. And me and him was called to preach about the same time. And I was going to Mount Calvary. And I had the King James Bible. And we was a Baptist. He's going to some church. He said, well, it's non-denominational. You know, we read the NIV and, you know, we'd have debates, me and him would, about this stuff. And we'd go back and forth. And he said, he don't believe in wearing a suit, you know. He said, you ought to just be able to wear your flip-flops if you want to the house of God. And you know what I learned, though? I learned if God's got a hold of somebody, he'll take care of the rest. You know what he does now? He pastors a Baptist church. Amen. He puts his suit on when he gets up there to take that pulpit. And if you try to tell him that anything but the King James Bible is the best version of the Bible to read, he'll be the one that's mad at you. But God done all that, amen? He brought him to that. The boy wasn't raised in church. His mama never took him to church. Like I said, he watched a movie. He watched a movie. Asked Jesus to save him. You say, well, that's crazy. Don't put God in a box.
Amen.
You know what happened to him? He's convicted over sin. That's what happened to him. And then he realized that he didn't have no hope to call on the precious name of Jesus. Whenever he called on that name, sweeter than any name, the name whereby there's no other name under heaven that's given to men, whereby man must be saved. Hey, I want to tell you, Jesus saved his soul. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Ghost come in. He said, it's expedient if I go, for if I go, I will send a comforter. And praise God, the comforter come in. He said, he will guide you into all holiness. And the next thing you know, the comforter's leading him to the King James Bible. It's leading to the Baptist faith. It's leading to dress like somebody. Hey, I want to tell you, give them Jesus. Amen. And God will take care of the rest. We spend too much time calling out theology instead of calling out sin. The Bible says this, speaking of division, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 17, or 16 through 19, says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. He that soweth discord among brethren. That, you know what discord is? It's something that leads to division. It leads to separation, division. He says that's something that God hates. He said that seventh, but that last one is an abomination to God. You know what else is an abomination to God? Sodomites. Those that have practiced sexual deviancy to the point where men lay with men and women lay with women and men want to be women and women want to be men. It makes me sick. It ought to make you sick. It sure makes God sick, because that's what the Bible says. It's an abomination. We can see that, can't we? Sure. You see some of those folks, the way that they dress, the piercings all on their face, and the different colored hair. And that's one thing. I almost pity them at that point. But then they get up there and they shout, and they put down God, and they put down God's people. And then they laugh about it, and they say that they admit. They'll admit that we're trying. We are going to get your kids. We're already in the schools. We are going to get your kids. And they laugh about it. That's what they say. That makes me sick. It makes God sick. You know what else he says in the abomination? It's those that sow discord among brethren. Gossipers. Amen.
Yeah.
Gossipers. He says, we're quick to pick up the telephone or talk to somebody. You know, how much time do you spend in fellowship with God versus how much time do you spend fellowshipping about God? I've asked that question here before. You know, I said often we spend more time talking to each other, fellowshipping with each other about God than we do fellowshipping with God. Fellowship with God is Him speaking to you through His Word. You read His Word. And you speaking to Him through prayer. Those two things. But even more so, even if you could say, well, yeah, I probably do talk to people about God more than I talk to God Himself. But how much other time do you spend just talking about people? And how much of it's positive? We don't usually have much positive things to say about one another, because the heart of man wants to puff itself up, wants to present itself. That's just the nature of man. And it causes division. I want to tell you something. You get division in church. You know what else Jesus said about division? He said this in Matthew. He says this, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. I'm sorry, it's in Mark. He says, and if a kingdom divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. But he says that a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Amen? That's the kind of division that Satan wants to bring, is between where there ought to be unity, and he wants to bring unity where there ought to be division. You understand what I'm saying? Satan would try to do just the opposite of what God does. Satan says, you know what, you need to have unity with everybody out there. You know, the church just needs to be welcoming to everybody. Hey, anybody's invited to come to the house of God. I mean, you get them here, I'll preach to them. I'll make a deal with you. You get them here, I'll preach to them. Amen. Anybody's welcome at this church. I don't care what size, shape, color, it don't matter. Hey, I will preach to them. Amen. But at the same time, I'm going to preach to them. I'm not going to take it easy on them just because they look different or whatever else. I'm going to treat them with the same love and respect I treat you with, and that's to give you the truth of God's Word. Amen. Amen. That's what we're called to do. Amen. It's to stand for the Word of God. He said not only to be light, but to be salt, to preserve the holiness of God's Word. Hey, there's a lot out there that would say, well, that's just being mean. That's just being mean. You're just being able to get along with everybody. To get along with everybody. And be able to go, you know, do this, that, and other. And they say, well, Jesus is love. Jesus is love. It's like the preacher said last week. They said Jesus is love, but they forget the fact that he's also just, he's also righteous, and he's also holy.
Amen.
He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. He says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? You don't mix together. He divided the light from the darkness in the beginning. Remember that? He says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Has the house of God made an agreement with the world to be able to mix together and to get along with one another? No. The Bible says this. It says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It says, for ye are the temple of the living God. He says that the Holy Ghost is coming down. That's not God Jr. That is God. It says, and it lives in you. You are the temple of God. It says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He made me his son, amen. I'm a child of the King, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I want to tell you right now, I've got friends that's lost. I still go and see them. I talk to them. And that's not what it's talking about. It's not saying to be like the Amish and go out there and live in the countryside somewhere, away from everybody. But what it's saying is that you shouldn't let the world have such an influence on you that you look more like the world than you do like a child of the King, amen. If you're a child of the King, why aren't you wearing the King's robes? I'm not just talking about what you dress like. I'm talking about what your appearance is like day to day. And I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about your speech. I'm talking about your actions. I'm talking about what's going through your mind. I'm saying, what is the world seeing on you? I was talking about my grandpa just a minute ago. Hey, like I said, if you went to church, you'd see me out a pair of pants that's probably 40 years old and an old rough shirt that he held had for 50 years that he got out there and he hoed in. Hey, I want to tell you, he didn't have but a few pairs of clothes. He'd roll his britches legs up every time he got in the garden because he didn't want to get no dirt on them because he knows that they had to last. But nevertheless, besides all that, when I seen him, I knew that he was a child of the King. He wasn't wearing the rags of the world. He wasn't wearing the rags of a beggar in his day-to-day life. He didn't act like just some old peasant out here on the street. You say, well, preacher, you're being mean, you're making fun of poor people. I'm the poor people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual riches. Stay with me. You're a child of the King. He said, I'll be a father unto them. They'll be my sons and daughters. He said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. He said, I've come to bring division. But he's talking about the right kind of division. It's okay for you to stand for the Word of God.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, God expects you to, Christian. God expects you to stand firm and let hell roar at you. And let the devil bite and gnash at you and stand up to you. And hey, you just keep on trudging through it. Hey, you keep on marching to the prize that is eternal life. You keep on sounding the gospel and standing for Christ. And I want to tell you, I don't care if it's the devil himself or if it's another Christian brother or sister that's been convicted in their heart, no matter who it is, that tells you you ought to slow down. You don't listen to them. You keep on praising God and living for God and growing closer to God and let the world see it. And I promise you this, there'll be some lives and some hearts that are changed because they see your walk and your profession of Christ.
Amen.
If I profess Christ and I'm no different than I used to be, what good is that profession, preacher? If I was to profess Christ and I walk around and I'm a cussing all the time, and I'm mad all the time, and I'm talking about perverse things all the time, hey, there ain't no difference in me and the rest of the world. But if I profess Christ and I live as a Christian, as a child of God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, and they can see not only that I've been forgiven, I said, this preacher, when I left down there at Kayser, I said, I know what God wants of me. And I said, I know this, I cannot pastor a church unless it's in the community I live in. I said, because this. I said, because the people there, I said, I have a testimony with. They knew me when I was lost, and they know me when I'm saved. I want to tell you, church, you let them see, and God will humble the mighty. Debbie, you'll get this, some of them won't. My friend Bobby, he's a good man, he's a good friend, but he's got a temper. He's been known to be violent. He has. And I remember hadn't been called to preach long. I was still just 20 couple years old. I remember the Lord put him on my heart one day. I come home from work. I said, "My wife said, honey, I got to go over and see Bobby." And I was always scared of him. I wasn't scared of most of them, but I scared him. I went over there and I knocked on the door, and little Vicky came to the door. And she said, Stoney said, he's mad and he's off down there in the woods tearing up the four-wheel trails of the tractor. That's what she told me. They made him mad. Grand Youngins had or something. He was ripping their trails up at the tractor. I said, well, I got to go see him. She said, Stoney, don't go down there right now. He's not in the mood. And I said, Vicky, I said, God told me to come today, and I got to go see him. And I went down there, and he seen me come, and I never said a word. But just because he knew me before, and just because he had seen what God had done for me, because he knew already if I was coming that day, he shook that tractor off and he just started bawling like a baby. He is just a crying. He said, I've tried to run from God all day. He said, and he was the last person I wanted to see. He said, God wouldn't leave me alone. He said, now he's done sent you down here to preach to me, ain't you? And I said, yep. And I just started telling him. And praise God, it just humbled his heart. Hey, I want to tell you, that's not the only time I say that, because I know you know, and then some of y'all might know, but I want to tell you this, I've seen folks that you wouldn't imagine just break down and cry. You know why? I'm not bragging on me. Please don't think I'm bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus and what he's done in my life and how he saved my soul, and he made me not who I'm used to be. Amen. And I thank God for that. But I've seen, because of what God's done in my life, he's used that to reach people. Now make no mistake about it, I'm still just a sinner. And I still mess up. And I still make mistakes. So Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He said this, that the love of God is something that our good behavior did not earn. And it's also something that our follies and our failures cannot diminish. The love of God is such that it remains forever and ever and ever. It's just as bright in the darkness of night as it is in the daylight of great joy. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the kind of God I've got. That's the kind of God that saved me. And you know what he done? He put the Holy Ghost inside of me. Hey, I like the preacher said, nobody had to drag me to church. Nobody had to tell me where I ought to go. Nobody had to tell me what I should wear. The Holy Ghost convicted my heart and said, son, this is what you're going to do. Nobody had to tell me to tell somebody about Jesus. I couldn't shut up about Jesus. And I want to tell you right now, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but I'm not who I used to be. Amen.
Yeah.
I've been called out. He said, come ye out from among you and be ye separate. To live as a Christian is to be a child of the King.
Amen.
I'm going to give you one more scripture and I'm done. Proverbs 27, verse 17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'm not here today to try to preach down to you as if I'm better. I've told you many times, the worst sinner I know is right here. Because that's the one I know the best. I ain't trying to pluck no twigs out when I got a log in my own eye. But God called me to preach. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. You take a file and you run that thing against the axe head. Why? Because it needs to be sharp to work. Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. But a sword's only as good as the one it wields.
Yeah, amen.
You need to be sharp yourself. I come as a friend, just like that file. Sometimes whenever something gets sharp, you know what happens? There's division, there's separation, there's some material that gets removed as you're sharpening something. Any of you that's ever sharpened anything, you know what I'm talking about. You run that file across there. You ever sharpened a chainsaw and seen them little shavings laying there, them little bitty bits? That's the material have to be removed. I want to ask you tonight, church, do you have the right kind of division in your heart tonight? Are you divided against somebody you don't need to be divided against? Are you divided against the world, separated for the cause of Christ? As we bow our heads for prayer, everybody's got their heads bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I want to ask the church, what kind of division is in your heart? Is it in your heart to divide sin out of your life, to let the iron take away some material, to remove some things, to put some things aside? As the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, don't come because I beckon, but because the Holy Ghost knocks at your door. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." If you ain't having fellowship with Him, it's not because He's not there. He's there. He's knocking, waiting for us to let Him in. That's not a picture of salvation. When He says that, that's a picture of fellowship between the believer and Christ. As I pray tonight, God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, for convicting me. Lord, giving me strong convictions, God, that I might not live a life, God, that brings shame, Father, to your name and to me or this church. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord, for saving me from my sins and having mercy on me every day. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me where I do fail you. God, have mercy on me for all my failures, Lord, all the folly and the wickedness, Lord, that's in my own heart. And I pray, God, that you would grow me with strong conviction, Lord, and through your word. I pray, God, that you would draw me near to the cross. Lord, set my affection and set my attention towards that mark, that high mark that is your Son, Jesus. Father, that I live a life, God, that glorify you, that glorify him, that exalt his name. Lord, I thank you for loving us, Lord, calling us out of darkness. Lord, I pray if there be anybody here tonight, God, that's saved, that don't know you, the free pardon of sin, I pray, God, that you'd save them. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, Father, that's backslid, or Lord, that's just riding that fence, Lord, sitting in the middle somewhere, Lord, I pray, God, that you convict them, Lord, and help them and strengthen them. Lord, I want to say that I thank you, Lord, for loving me while I was yet a sinner and loving me now. Lord, I'm still without hope for myself, Lord. I'm still without strength for myself. But, Lord, through your strength, I can do all things. And, Lord, all my hope is in you and you alone. Lord, we thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we beg tonight. Amen.
Amen.